Welcome to Gun for Hire Radio, where we talk about guns, the shooting sports, upholding your God-given right to defend yourself, and protecting your most valuable assets, yourself and your family. I'm Sandy Berardi.
And I'm Master Trainer Anthony Colangelo.
And together, we share the how-tos and what-fors of legal, responsible gun ownership, especially in the dangerous and crowded urban environment we live in. We answer questions and give advice. We talk about the news, current events, and legislation that's important to gun owners. And we do it all from behind the Second Amendment Iron Curtain, in the shadows of the New York City skyline.
This gun's for hire. This gun's for hire. This gun's for hire. This gun's for hire. This gun's for hire.
Welcome to Gun for Hire Radio. We're just so happy that you chose to spend some time with us. Remember, you can participate in our show by emailing your questions, comments, and suggestions for future shows to talkback@gunforhire.com. You can download a copy of today's show from iTunes, Zune, or from our show website at gunforhireradio.com. We'd also love to have you follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Ning. And if you like the show, please tell a friend. Today's show is brought to you by Gun for Hire Firearms Academy, America's Urban Defense Institute for over 30 years, with four state-of-the-art facilities in New Jersey to just minutes from New York City and Philadelphia, offering indoor and outdoor training, moving and shooting, tactical weapons training, baton, handcuff, and mace, executive protection training and certification, multi-state CCW permits, and armed security and retired law enforcement qualifications. Gun for Hire Academy is equipped with the top-of-the-line FATS firearms training simulator and is the only facility in the world approved for civilian force-on-force simulations training. And being built as we speak in our Gun for Hire South facility in Winslow, New Jersey, a brand new state-of-the-art shoot house for simunitions force-on-force training available to law enforcement agencies in New Jersey and throughout the tri-state area, and to select civilian programs as well. Whether you're a beginner who's never even touched a gun or a seasoned professional looking to keep your skills sharp, you'll find something tailored just right for you at Gun for Hire. Flying in from out of town? We'll pick you up at the airport. Train where the pros do. Gun for Hire. Find out more at gunforhire.com. And by Lipstick Bodyguard. Like carrying a personal bodyguard with you in your purse or pocket.
You thought it was the machine?
Coming up a little later on our program, we'll be talking about some tips that you can use to keep yourself and your family safe while traveling this summer. But now let's talk about some news and current events that are affecting gun owners. Anthony?
Hello, everyone. Anthony Colangelo here, reporting from behind the Iron Curtain of New Jersey. Some news, not too much current news in New Jersey on the gun laws right now. All is quiet on the eastern front here on the east coast of New Jersey.
So we think, but we know that they're really up behind the scenes.
Yes. Well, we have some lawsuits brewing ourselves, too, a few tricks up our sleeve. But I just spent the past 3 days in Atlanta, Georgia, at the International Blade Expo. The Blade Expo celebrating its 18th anniversary. It is the mecca of knives, should one want to visit. Custom knife makers, knife supplies, and, of course, all of the mass producers from Emerson to Benchmade to Spyderco, they were all there. And I noticed walking through the show that when people would ask me where I was from, when I say New Jersey, they would do that same cringe and face that you get when you go to a gun show and you tell people you're from New Jersey. So I decided to buy myself a book while I was at the show, and it's the knife laws of the 50 states. And the first line I read under New Jersey is, visitors to the Garden State will find a generally hostile legal environment for knife carry.
Nice.
How's that make you feel?
It makes me feel normal.
Yes, right? The statutory definition of weapon encompasses virtually all knives, and state law requires that possession of any knife under circumstances not manifestly appropriate for such lawful uses as it may have is a crime. Thus, the law-abiding traveler with even a folding knife had better have a good, plausible reason for carrying that utility knife with a sharpened edge.
You mean the same kind of knife that everybody carries?
Correct. So if you had a Swiss Army knife with a toothpick and a flashlight and a diesel generator or whatever else may be on your little Swiss Army knife in your pocket, and I saw a multitude of those there, you have to have a reason for carrying it.
What would a valid reason be other than I want to carry my knife?
Well, I was thinking, in case we had this discussion. Myself and my instructors had this discussion, and I guess if you were fishing on a boat and you had a fishing knife, if you were walking on a street, I guess the only thing would be is like you're a rugger or a box knife and you work at a food store and you're on your way for lunch or something. But even that, under the letter of law, could be defined as you're not working at the moment. So pretty much New Jersey, any edged weapon is just like a gun.
Now, so these are your guys are all cops. So these are guys are going to arrest people for an infraction like that?
I took the liberty of interviewing a few cops and basically said, what happens when you pull somebody over or you pat somebody down and they have an edged weapon on them? And the major consensus from the police officers are that if you don't fit the profile, if you're a law-abiding citizen, et cetera, they let you go. If you're a shitbag, they lock you up.
Oh, all right. Okay? So they've got the option.
Okay, yes, they have the option, but I'm not happy with that.
No, I'm not happy
with
that
either. There's days maybe I can look like a shitbag. Okay, and
that's why we're on radio, my friend.
Okay, exactly. So again, New Jersey, in keeping with track with being gun phobic, is also knife phobic.
Hmm.
And the exclusions are unbelievable. New Jersey prohibits the carry of weapons on school, college, or other educational institution property.
So you can't even have a little buck knife?
No, or a Swiss Army knife. A little Swiss Army knife that you see people use to file their nails and stuff with the toothpick in it and the tweezers. In New Jersey, if you were to carry that on a college property or an elementary school property, you are, in fact, a felon.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
I never knew this.
And, you know, there are organizations. Doug Ritter is the founder of KnifeRights.org, which is basically the NRA of knives. And they have about five lawsuits right now in New York.
He's a pretty cool guy.
He's a very nice guy, Doug. As a matter of fact, I volunteered a few months ago. I worked the Knife Rights booth at the knife show in New Jersey.
Then we had a knife show in New Jersey.
Well, let's talk about this. New York District Attorney Vance and King Bloomberg, as you would say, they banned the importation of gravity knives and auto assist knives. So the Blade Show, the local Blade Show that comes to the Crown Plaza in New York twice a year, packed their bags up and moved over to New Jersey. I don't think they did the research properly because they would have found that New Jersey laws are just as tough as New York's. I would imagine next time the show is probably going to move to a free state like Pennsylvania or something.
Yeah, Philadelphia is a much better place.
And, Doug is a nice guy, and believe it or not, a weapon is a weapon, whether it's a gun or a knife in New Jersey, and you need to support organizations like this that are out there standing guard for us and making sure our liberties aren't stripped away from us.
It's amazing how much the government does to try to strip us of our rights. We, you know, we think we live in a free country, but bit by bit, even the friendly politicians are stripping us of our...
I mean, I did an assessment yesterday. I carry five knives with me all the time. I have five. I have one on my shoe. I have one in each pocket in the front, one in a pocket in the back, and a belt knife. I have five knives on me at any given
time. That's a nice start.
Yes. And if I'm sensing I'm going to a dangerous area, I usually carry a neck knife. So six knives at one time. How do I justify that? I guess if a cop pulls me over and asks me my career, I'll say, I'm a ninja. Which I don't think, once he looks at me, I don't think he'll buy it. But it's worth a shot.
Could be a knife collector.
So people, I say get pissed off and get out there and fight for your rights. KnifeRights.org is a good organization. Keep buying those knives. All you guys and girls out there that are carrying those 3- and 4-inch blades, join the world of felonies like the rest of us.
When we come back, I want to talk about the Operation Fast and Furious.
Wasn't that a car movie?
Yes, it was. And Project Gunrunner. We'll talk about what the newspapers are saying about it, or lack thereof. This is Alexander Berardi, executive producer of Gun for Hire Radio, with a little dose of reality about your business's future. Did you know that the customers that cost you the most money are the ones you never see? The ones who don't come in because they don't know you exist. Because your ads never get their attention. If you're even slightly paying attention to your business, I don't have to tell you that the market is changing. Times are changing. Old ideas are carried by old messages and old forms of media. New ideas are carried by new messages and new forms of media. Do you want to keep up with the times, get ahead of the curve? Then you need to grasp new ideas and harness the power of a new media. That's where Gun for Hire Radio can help you. As a Gun for Hire Radio sponsor, you get the opportunity to showcase your product or service before a minimum of 15,000 local customers, plus listeners in over 195 countries around the world. And you get to do it for a minuscule investment of less than one half a penny per person. Where else are you going to get that kind of value? And remember, these are not just any listeners. Our audience is comprised of 100% shooting enthusiasts who are all interested, ready, willing, and able to buy everything and anything that you sell. But like I said, there are limited slots available, and when they're gone, they're gone. So stop whatever you're doing, pick up the phone, and call Anthony Colandro directly. There's no middlemen, and nobody's going to try to sell you anything. The phone number, well, we made it simple and toll-free, 888-GUN-FOR-HIRE. If the number is busy, please keep trying, or shoot us an email, anthony@gunforhire.com. There aren't many assurances in life, but I can assure you this. The people who jump on this opportunity will walk away with your customers. Call now, 888-GUN-FOR-HIRE. It's the quick and the dead, baby. Choose wisely.
This gun's for hire.
And we're back. Anthony, before the break, we were talking about Operation Fast and Furious and
the movie or the gun thing?
Yeah, the gun thing.
Oh, okay.
The Gun Runner Project. I think a lot of our listeners may or may not be familiar with that. Can you kind of give us an idea of what's been going on with that in ATF?
It seems that the ATF, to monitor the trafficking of guns going across the border to Mexico or Mexican cartels using, decided to slip some guns through that they could monitor, and lo and behold, they lost them.
Nice. It wasn't just a couple of guns either, was it?
No, it was a few thousand guns.
Yes.
Well, we're still waiting for the final count, and the ATF is not really giving us the answers.
But it's a few thousand that we know about.
It's a few thousand that
we
know about.
Who knows what the real number is?
Correct. I mean, what an ignorant idea. To basically add fuel to the fire to figure something out.
And this goes all the way up to Eric Holder's office, supposedly.
Correct. The decision was made to release these guns and monitor them to see if they came back across the Mexico-U.S. border into the United States, which would give the liberals more ammunition for banning firearms in the United States.
Mm.
And the experiment was done. Thousands of guns were released, and most of them were lost.
And even though Congressman Darrell Issa has been trying to get information about this from he heads the Committee on Oversight, and he's been trying to get information from DOJ, and he's been stonewalled all the way up.
Correct. And, of course, other than Fox News, we don't have any other media behind us that's pressing for these answers.
Well, it's very interesting, too, because today the first hearings were held. And even before the dust settled, the propaganda machine, let's call it, has already pointed to something else. And three Senate Democrats have come up with more BS.
Three of my favorite Senate Democrats also.
Yes.
Dianne Feinstein, Sheldon Whitehouse, and Chucky Schumer.
Yes,
Chucky Schumer has armed bodyguards to protect him.
They all do. Dianne Feinstein, yes. Whitehouse. They've all got their contingent. And Chucky Cheese Schumer, I mean, he's been at this for a long time.
Yeah. Talk about someone who talks from two sides of their mouth. Unbelievable.
In 2009, when they said that 90%, the news broke that 90% of the guns that were seized in Mexico were traced back to the United States. And that's when Felipe Calderon came and wagged his finger at us from our own congressional floor.
Yeah, we allowed him to come into our country and speak to the Joint House and Senate, and he chastised the American people, the American gun manufacturers, and the American political machine. And he received standing ovations.
Well, that number turned out to be not quite 90%. It was more like 18%, wasn't it?
Which we believe is also falsely inflated, because they were grasping at straws to get that 18%. Some of those numbers were guns that were stolen from homes along the border, the Mexican, Arizona, and Texas border, and they ended up in criminals' hands. Well, lo and behold, if your house is broken into because illegal aliens are coming over the fence and they steal your guns, of course, when they catch them, they're going
to
have guns that
were...
They're
going to go back to Mexico.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. And, you know, while we're on this subject of Gunrunner, Project Gunrunner, one thing really pisses me off. I think a lot of the American public don't get it, but it's very—it's an unprecedented thing where our U.S. president has sided with a foreign country when it comes to border protection. And basically, the lawsuit against Governor Brewer in Arizona, it's the first time ever where a U.S. president has sided with a foreign country and has taken part in a lawsuit against one of the 50 states.
Well, it's all part of the Blame America First movement, you know.
Oh, the Blame America First. We're the police of the world. We're the martyrs of the world. Most people are a little fed up with this shit, to be honest with you. But, you know, you talk about Project Gunrunner and you talk about protecting our borders, and here we have a sitting president who is in the middle of a lawsuit with a foreign president against one of our states.
Well, you know, you've got liberal politician and liberal politician. You've got Felipe Calderon, who's in a fight for his life right now, trying to get reelected in a country that is in absolute turmoil right now.
Now, here's a country that has an outright ban on handguns, except for police and military. And what do we get, about 5,000 people a week get massacred there?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's because, like we've always said, the good guys don't have access to the guns, and the bad guys have an endless supply of the guns.
I mean, you had an interesting story of a gentleman whose son lost his life during the Mexican gun trade or drug trade, correct?
Well, you know, here's two sides of the same story. You've got a fellow by the name of Javier Cecilia, who is a very well-known Mexican poet whose son, very tragically, was gunned down by the Mexican drug cartel.
Was he just in the wrong place at the wrong time?
Well, yeah, pretty much. Wrong place, wrong time. It was just there's so many innocent Mexicans being slaughtered by the drug cartels. And on the other side, you've got the police chief of the state of Guerrero, Mexico, Ramon Almonte, who his son was also gunned down by the same group of people. Javier Cecilia, his response to this is to lead a campaign to try to get police and military in Mexico to stand down, wave a white flag, and say, you know, we pretty much have given in, and hope that the new masters of Mexico, they'll be benevolent dictators, where Chief Guerrero has petitioned the Calderon administration to try to make it easier for citizens themselves to get guns, which they now have to petition their federal government, actually their Department of Defense, in order to get a gun, and they're being stonewalled.
So they're in the same predicament that we are, like in New Jersey, then, where we
have
to beg
pretty
for
much
a gun.
Where we have to beg for a gun. Is Mama May I?
Gotcha.
You know, but it's kind of interesting to see that here are two men. One wants to wave the flag of surrender, and the other one wants to fight back. He's right. I mean, he said in a statement to El Universal that there are very few bad guys and there are many law-abiding citizens. Yeah. So why should so many law-abiding citizens be held hostage, in a sense, by such few? And it's all because of the lack of their ability to defend themselves.
So New Jersey isn't the only place that has the nanny state, huh?
No, it's not. But it's, you know, it's funny how this same theme repeats itself over and over and over again. That 90% myth in 2009 is now being replaced by a 70% myth. It's the same nonsense, the same BS, just the numbers are changing. And Feinstein and company are coming out with this propaganda right now to cover up what's going on over at ATF. They're saying now that 29,000 guns were seized, of which 70% were traced back to the United States. The real number, Anthony, was 129,000, as reported in El Universal, the newspaper.
Wow, 130,000 guns seized. How many? I mean, these drug cartels, they have bottomless pockets when it comes to money. They can buy guns anywhere they want. Why would they even attempt to come to the United States and gun a month?
Gun a month in New Jersey, or they go to El Paso, where, of course, they're getting their Lars rockets.
Yes, I mean, they can buy guns from international gun brokers and gun traders, and just they can buy rail cars and shipping containers full of guns. Why would they come to us?
And the majority of the guns are coming from their southern border through places like El Salvador, Nicaragua.
Yep. Okay, I can understand that. But again, we catch the heat for it because, you know, the United States is to blame for everything.
But look at the propaganda here, right? You've got 8,700 guns that were actually traced back out of that 100,000, which is not 70%. It's more like 7%. I guarantee you the mainstream media is going to take that number and run with it.
But Feinstein, Chuck E. Schumer, and White House are using this as a diversionary tactic right now with the press while a gun runner is going on.
Of course. Of course. You know, you really can't talk about guns. This is not a political show, but you cannot talk about gun ownership in the United States, especially here in the Northeast, without having to bring some sort of politics into it, because we are constantly fighting for our rights. And like you said last week, we are really a heartbeat away from losing our Second Amendment rights entirely. And it's because we sit, especially here in the Northeast, and do absolutely nothing.
You know, we can kill two birds with one stone with Project Gunrunner and Jan Brewer's problem with being sued by the United States and Mexico. We could build a wall. If the Chinese could do it 6,000 years ago, I think we could build a wall now. I think we need to secure our borders.
We do.
I went to the NRA convention this year, and there was a sheriff's officer who was up there talking that he lost a brother sheriff's officer from drug traffickers or human traffickers, you know, mules coming across the border, and they got into a shootout, and he was killed. It happens to countless people. Our people live in fear along the Mexico border. Our government, our federal government, Jan Brewer, at her request to strengthen the borders, they went down there and hung up signs in English and Spanish warning American citizens that this is a drug and human trafficking area and it's not a safe place to be.
Wow, what a great response.
Could you imagine the audacity telling Americans that we can't go somewhere on American soil because we're too weak to support the borders?
Yes.
We're too weak to make the decisions that need to be made. Tell Calderon, have a nice day, and we're building our own Iron Curtain.
When we come back, I want to hear a little bit more about that knife show that you were at.
Oh, I have an interesting axe story to grind with you.
Sweet. We'll be back.
I want to tell you about my friend Katie. Katie is a nurse, and she was attacked on her way home from work. She was totally taken by surprise, and although Katie is only 5 feet tall and 106 pounds, she was easily able to drop her 6'4", 250-pound attacker to his knees and get away unharmed. Katie wasn't just lucky that day. She was prepared. In her pocketbook, a harmless-looking lipstick, which really contained a powerful man-stopping aerosol propellant. It's not like it was in our grandmother's day. Today, just going to and from work or to the mall can have tragic consequences. The FBI says a violent crime is committed every 15 seconds in the United States, and a forcible rape happens every 5 minutes. And chances are, when something happens, no one will be around to help. It looks just like a lipstick, so no one will suspect a thing, which is important since experts say getting the jump on your attacker is all about the element of surprise. Inside this innocent-looking lipstick is the same powerful stuff used by police and the military to disarm even the most powerful armed aggressor. In fact, National Park Rangers use the very same formula that's inside this little lipstick to stop 2,000-pound vicious grizzly bears dead in their tracks. It's like carrying a personal bodyguard with you in your purse or your pocket. Darkness brings danger. Muggers and rapists use darkness to their advantage. We all know what it's like to be walking at night and hear footsteps coming at us from behind. Who's there? If it's somebody bad, will you be protected? Your life may depend on it. My friend Katie's close call needs to be a wake-up call for all of us, myself included. Pick up a Lipstick Bodyguard and keep it with you always.
The Lipstick Bodyguard is available at all Gun for Hire locations and events, at fine boutiques nationwide, or at lipstickbodyguard.com.
You're listening to Gun for Hire Radio.
And remember, you can participate in our show by emailing us your questions, comments, and suggestions for future show topics to talkback@gunforhireradio.com. You can also download a copy of this show from iTunes or Zoom or directly from our website at gunforhireradio.com. We'd love to have you follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Ning. And if you like the show, we hope you tell a friend. Anthony, before the break, we were talking about your little venture to Atlanta and the gun show. You took Crazy Dave, the Axeman.
Crazy Dave Deanna. He collects many knives and ammunition and axes. And we went and we spent 3 days in Atlanta at the show. And we got to meet Daniel Winkler of Winkler Knives and Axes. He makes primitive knives and axes. And interesting story from Mr. Winkler. In 1991, he was approached by one of our operators, whether it's Navy SEAL or Delta Force, we really can't find out, about having an axe made for him to wear. And he bought it with his own money because the U.S. government wouldn't pay for it. We're too busy sending money to, you know, Mexico
to our enemies,
and
yeah.
all of our enemies, correct, so that they won't support us in the United Nations. And
so our own Delta Force has to go out and buy their own weapons.
Correct. Our nice. Own Delta Force and Navy SEAL teams and special forces are going out buying their own weapons. So it caught on like wildfire. And Daniel Winkler started selling these axes at cost in 1991. And he has since not raised the price. They're still $350 an axe. And if you order two of them, you get to keep one. And he sends one overseas to one of our operators to wear. And you never find out who it is that's carrying it or anything, but I think it's really cool. So, of course, I ordered one, and I ordered one for me, and I'm having one sent over. We have, one of my instructors was in the 10th Mountain in the U.S. Army, so he wouldn't let me order a SEAL team axe. So instead I ordered a, yes, Joe said I couldn't do it. So I had to order an axe that's going to Delta Force, and I feel really good about it. And after going to the show and speaking with a few people, I hear that when you sneak up behind someone with a Winkler axe in your hand, if you strike him in the head, their head splits in half like a coconut.
Sweet.
And that was reason enough for me to go out and order one. I only had to hear that, and I had to order one.
Now that's marketing, baby.
I'm thinking about having a mount made where it'll stay over the visor in my car.
In the great state of New Jersey.
Yes. If a cop pulls me over and he asks me what it is, it's to use to change the spare tire.
It's to open coconuts, officer.
Exactly. Yes. I have a thing for coconut milk, and I might need to open a coconut.
Fresh coconuts. Very important.
I also found out that I need a dirk, so I ordered a dirk.
All right. Now, what is a dirk?
A dirk is something that's also banned in New Jersey. A dirk is a small, two-sided knife. If you have a knife in New Jersey that has two sharp edges on it, it's banned in the state. It's
Come
a dirk.
On. Are you serious?
Yes, dirks, daggers, and stilettos are banned in New Jersey, as well as butterfly knives, or balisong knives, as some martial arts would call them, artists. They're banned also in the state of New Jersey.
So you're telling the story about how you're going to carry an illegal knife in the state of New Jersey.
I didn't say I was
going to
carry it. I'm going to acquire it.
An entire nation and 156 countries around the world. You've just told everyone.
Yes, I'm sorry about that.
That's very nice.
I'm going to be a felon again.
Okay.
But once you tell me I can't have something, well, then I want it.
Yeah, I'm
okay?
like that too. I have to admit.
Bad. I want it. I'm a guy. That's my thing. You tell me I can't have it. It's banned. I order it the next day.
And it doesn't even light up with diodes or anything.
But yes, I need a dirk. I already have some butterfly knives. They're in an undisclosed location because we live in the state of New
Outside
Jersey.
Outside of the state of New Jersey.
So, you know, thinking about this now, Sandy, we always talk about gun laws. Everybody I know in the gun industry carries a knife. What if we were to stab someone? We're going to prison.
You're absolutely right.
We're going to prison for an assault with
a deadly
weapon.
You could stab somebody with a pen.
Yep.
And
I don't know what the definition of pen is. I read the entire knife law thing, and we are having a defensive knife class, an executive knife class at the school where we're teaching people how to use a pen class. We're teaching people how to use tactical pens,
which I am signed up for, by the way.
Are you? Rob is carrying one right now. You see Rob out there with his pen?
Yes, I do.
He's got a Smith & Wesson.
It's very
in green.
Nice, and he's shining it with his laser through the studio window.
Nice, very nice.
What did somebody leave a box of donuts open? What are all these cops doing outside?
I don't know. They just seem to gravitate like bees to honey.
Oh my God. I think this was a Dunkin' Donuts franchise.
Just so you know, I flew from Newark to Atlanta and Atlanta to Newark, and both times carrying a Benchmade tactical self-defense pen in my pocket.
Sweet.
And security, TSA, the officer who was working the belt was snoring. The other person that was moving the...
It's her tax dollars at work, baby. But just understand that you can't fire them because now they're unionized.
Exactly. And the one was having a hard time The one was having a hard time with the metal detector, and I showed her how to use it, which I inadvertently shut the machine off and walked right through with a belt buckle on.
Great.
Okay. And my Benchmade pen, which I think is a great defense tool. So we are having a tactical defense class here. And I would support Winkler Axes if anybody's interested. Daniel Winkler is a really stand-up guy. By the way, he has not raised the price of the axes going to our troops overseas since 1991.
That's incredible.
20 years.
That's amazing.
He's still charging $350 an axe. If you give him $700, you get an axe, and one of our troops overseas gets an axe. And you know what? No better gratifying feeling than knowing that one of our overseas operators might split someone's head in half with an axe that I paid
donated
for. I mean, is that not great? When I go to sleep at night and I think of things like this,
that's totally
I
cool.
Just get that warm, fuzzy feeling.
Yes, it just does it for you. I can tell. All right, when we get back, I'd like to talk a little bit about that Oklahoma City pharmacist who was convicted of murder for defending himself and his store against armed robbers.
Ooh, I just got chills just hearing you talk about it.
And what that means for the rest of us.
This portion of Gun for Hire Radio is being brought to you by Gun for Hire Firearms Academy, America's Urban Defense Institute for over 30 years, with 4 state-of-the-art facilities in New Jersey, 2 of them just minutes from New York City and Philadelphia, offering indoor and outdoor training, moving and shooting, tactical weapons training, baton, handcuff, and mace, executive protection training and certification, multi-state CCW permits, and armed security and retired law enforcement qualifications. Gun for Hire Academy is equipped with a state-of-the-art FATS, Firearms Training Simulator, and is the only training facility in the world approved for civilian, force-on-force, simmunitions training. Whether you're a beginner who's never touched a gun or a seasoned professional looking to keep your skills sharp, you'll find something tailored just for you at Gun for Hire. Flying in from out of town? We'll pick you up at the airport. Find out more at gunforhire.com. Train where the pros do. Gun for Hire, America's Urban Defense Institute. You're listening to Gun for Hire Radio.
We're back. Before the break, Anthony, we were talking about the Oklahoma City pharmacist who was convicted of murder for defending himself and his store against armed robbers.
You really want to talk about this to me, Sandy?
Yeah, I really don't.
Because I'm very, very unhappy with the decision. Law-abiding citizen was just sentenced to, life in prison.
Mm. For defending himself and for defending his property.
Well, you know, people look at it, there's 2 different aspects to this case. And the first aspect is law-abiding citizen owns a pharmacy, and 2 bad guys come in, gunpoint, rob the place. He takes out a legally owned firearm, shoots one in the head, runs outside and shoots at the other one and misses, comes back into the store, and this is where our enemies here say a crime was committed, takes another gun from behind a counter and shoots the guy on the ground who still has the gun in close proximity to himself and shoots him repetitiously and kills him. And so what happens is that that's considered a separate case, a separate incident that he was being tried for, so he gets tried for murder. Now, this is a bunch of crap as far as I'm concerned, because when he went to work that day, Mr. Law-Abiding Citizen, he did not intend to become a victim of a violent crime, and all he was doing was protecting himself and his employees. And once they crossed that line, once they crossed that boundary and broke into his establishment and tried to rob him, all bets are off from that point on. And that is my opinion.
Right. It's an occupational hazard.
Okay. Exactly. Occupational hazard. You're going to break into my pharmacy or come into my pharmacy, guns drawn, then you better be ready for the ramifications afterwards. Now, of course, people are saying, well, it's a separate case because he shot the one guy, ran outside, shot at the other guy, and then came in. And because it's almost like premeditatedly, he found his second gun and shot the guy. But listen, how many people listening or how many of the people on a jury have actually been in a shootout or been shot at? Exactly. And they would have to deal with a situation like this.
Well, one of the things you always talk about is what happens physiologically to a human being when they're confronted with a deadly situation.
Correct. I mean, they ask police officers all the time after a shooting, how many rounds did you shoot? Did you reload? Did this happen? Did that happen? They can't remember. We suffer from time dilation, auditory exclusion, and tunnel vision. All right, this guy had just been fired upon, had to shoot another human being, ran out into the street, fired upon another human being. Adrenaline pumping, epinephrine going through his body. So he runs. What happens? He runs back in the store. He sees him moving, which is still perceived as a threat. And what would anybody else do? They say, kick the gun away, run back outside. His first response was to reach for his second firearm, and his response was to continue firing till the threat or act of aggression ceases.
Right.
End of conversation.
Yeah. And the problem was is that this is all on tape because it was all on the surveillance tape, and they were able to use his own surveillance tape against him.
Correct. They used his own surveillance tape against him. Now, the good thing is he is filing an appeal, and maybe we'll get a panel of jurors that are smart enough to see through this because, again, I am going to say it over and over again. I'll disagree with anybody to the bottom of the earth. When those two shitbags walked into that store with intent to harm them or kill them and rob that place, all bets are off from there.
What does this mean practically for us who carry guns and for us who, maybe own a business and have a firearm or even in our home? Are there any lessons here really to be learned about,
you know,
other than the fact that the legal system kind of sucks?
Yes. You know, we have a saying, rather be tried by 12 than carried by 6. You know what? He wasn't carried by 6, but he was tried by 12. But unfortunately, the 12 didn't side with him. But you're involved in a shooting. If you make the decision to have a firearm for self-defense or a knife or a gun or mace or anything else it may be, you're going to have to be prepared for the legal ramifications afterwards, because remember, the people that are going to be critiquing and criticizing your actions and what you did, they weren't there when it happened.
Right.
They weren't there. They're just watching a tape and they're listening to testimony.
It's a quiet
about this
jury
poor,
room,
yes,
everyone, yeah.
This poor kid, it was, impoverished inner city kid.
Yeah, when he wasn't robbing,
yes,
and murdering and raping, he was the best SOB on the block.
You know, it's funny, but if those two shitbags had shot that pharmacist and killed him, it would have been on page 27 of the local newspaper and we never would have heard anything about it.
Yeah,
and he would have lost his family, and everybody would have lost a good, hardworking man. But because the tables were turned and the average person got the upper hand this time, look at how it played out in a court of law.
It should be the other way around, but the media bias toward gun owners is incredible. Hollywood has been able to spin gun owners as being somehow vigilante lunatics, and that the only people who should be carrying guns are the crooks, the bad guys, and the police.
And also the bodyguards for our politicians and our Hollywood glitterati.
Yeah, well, there's that.
And all law-abiding citizens out there who have firearms in their business or carry a firearm on their person or have firearms for home defense, they should be outraged by this jury decision for this gentleman, this pharmacist. They really should be outraged, and not only that, but when you go to bed at night, ladies and gentlemen, you should be scared, because this could be one of us.
Absolutely.
Okay.
What can we do to protect ourselves against this sort of a thing?
Well, it's situational dependent, Sandy. When you're in an environment and someone breaks in or someone comes to rob you, no one knows how they're going to handle it. No one knows how they're going to act. Could this be construed as excessive force? You know, looking at it in a black and white without the gray blur of a shooting happening, sure, it's excessive force. The guy was down and he continued firing. But training, you know, train on what is right and what is wrong and what is legal. For the most part, we're told it's okay to shoot someone if we are in clear and imminent danger. But the minute the act or threat of aggression ceases, we should cease also. I don't know if he was prepared properly, this pharmacist. Mm. Maybe he spoke to the police as soon as they came on the scene and implicated himself. Maybe he said it was an accident or I didn't mean to do it. You know, there's such a phenomenon known as excited utterances.
Right.
You know, and we tell all of our students here at our school never to tell the police anything about the situation. Officer, I want to comply fully. There's the bad guy. There's my gun. I will sign a complaint against that person, but I need to go to the hospital because I'm experiencing chest pains and shortness of breath. Let's face it, Sandy, you could have a heart attack.
Right.
So you should not deny yourself medical treatment. On the way to the hospital, you should have your lawyer's phone number on your cell phone, or you should call your wife or some other loved one so you can come in contact with your lawyer. And I wouldn't submit to an interrogation for a minimum of 24 hours and only with legal counsel at my side. And the police will understand that. Most unions in New Jersey, the police unions, if a police officer is involved in a violent encounter or a shooting, he does not have to submit to an interrogation for a minimum of 24 hours. And he's allowed union representation and legal counsel at his side. In New York City, as a matter of fact, it's 48 hours.
Yeah, the NYPD
NYPD. So they get time to gather their thoughts, to think about what happened before they give a statement. Because, again, not everyone is accustomed to taking another human life. Again, here's this pharmacist, law-abiding citizen, went to work that morning like he's probably done every day for the past 40 years of his effing life, and some dirtbag comes in to take everything away from him. You know, maybe after he shot the guy, he felt a rush of guilt afterwards.
Sure.
And when the police came to the scene, he might have said something like, I didn't mean to shoot him.
Absolutely.
Or it all happened so fast, I don't know what happened.
Good guys aren't prepared for this.
And how many people are used to pointing a gun at another human being and squeeze the trigger?
No, I'm not.
Exactly.
You know, it's kind of funny. We're talking about NYPD. Plaxico Burress is out of jail.
Yeah, good for him. Plaxico Burress, is he representing a holster company now or no?
No, actually, he was out of jail, and before his shoe leather was warm, he was up on stage with our buddy Paul Helmke from the Brady campaign. You know, but it's kind of interesting, too, and when you take a look at the fact that the other side, the anti-gun industry, is right on top of their game. Plaxico, shouldn't he have been up on the stage with Wayne LaPierre?
Talking about firearm safety?
Yeah.
No, instead now he's talking about banning guns.
Yeah, well, that's what Helmke would like him to.
Yes.
But, you know, here's Plaxico Burress coming up, standing on the stage with Paul Helmke. And he talks about how important it is to get training and how important it is to know the rules.
Kind of backfired on Helmke, right?
Yeah. I don't think he got his money that day.
Right away, Plaxico was touting that everyone should get responsible firearms training and know the rules to properly carrying a gun and whether it's illegal or not. I think Helmke wanted him to come on stage and say, yes, we should ban all handguns because that would make the world a safer place.
Well, everybody knows the gun is the problem.
Yeah, it's always the gun.
When we come back, we're going to be talking about some key tips for traveling safely this summer with your family. Back in a minute. This is Alexander Berardi, executive producer of Gun for Hire Radio, with a little dose of reality about your business's future. Did you know that the customers that cost you the most money are the ones you never see? The ones who don't come in because they don't know you exist, because your ads never get their attention. If you're even slightly paying attention to your business, I don't have to tell you that the market is changing. Times are changing. Old ideas are carried by old messages and old forms of media. New ideas are carried by new messages and new forms of media. Do you want to keep up with the times, get ahead of the curve? Then you need to grasp new ideas and harness the power of a new media. That's where Gun for Hire Radio can help you. As a Gun for Hire radio sponsor, you get the opportunity to showcase your product or service before a minimum of 15,000 local customers, plus listeners in over 195 countries around the world. And you get to do it for a minuscule investment of less than one half a penny per person. Where else are you going to get that kind of value? And remember, these are not just any listeners. Our audience is comprised of 100% shooting enthusiasts who are all interested, ready, willing, and able to buy everything and anything that you sell. But like I said, there are limited slots available, and when they're gone, they're gone. So stop whatever you're doing, pick up the phone, and call Anthony Colandro directly. There's no middlemen, and nobody's going to try to sell you anything. The phone number, well, we made it simple, and toll-free, 888-GUN-FOR-HIRE. If the number's busy, please keep trying, or shoot us an email, anthony@gunforhire.com. There aren't many assurances in life, but I can assure you this. The people who jump on this opportunity will walk away with your customers. Call now, 888-GUN-FOR-HIRE. It's the quick and the dead, baby. Choose wisely.
This gun's for hire. You're listening to Gun for Hire Radio.
Before we get into the traveling tips, Anthony, you're going to be doing the police expo this week, actually, tomorrow.
Yes, June 21st and 22nd, Atlantic City Police and Security Expo, 25th anniversary of the expo. They get about 17,000 people to visit. And Gun for Hire is booth 942, ladies and gentlemen.
942, and that's just for police officers.
Police and security.
Okay, great.
So we're going to be out there showing our wares, giving away some free gifts, making friends, and taking names.
Super.
So if you want, stop down.
Now, traveling safely, with everybody going on thinking about vacations this summer and traveling, you know, whether it's by car or by plane, what are some of the things that we need to know?
You know, I never really fully relax when I go on vacation because I know the dark side of the travel and tourism crime. And most people, when they go on vacation, would you agree with me, Sandy? When you go on vacation, do you feel like crime goes on vacation too?
Yeah, you know, you got that whole laid-back sort of Key West feeling.
Yep. Unfortunately for all of us, there's an entire set of criminals that act and prey upon tourists. So when we go on vacation, they're constantly farming and looking for new dupes like us who are walking around in our Bermuda shorts with our Hawaiian shirt on with the sunblock on, and we are just, you know, prey.
In condition white, is that called?
Condition white would be. So you'd have to be on vacation in condition red or maybe even condition orange, to be quite honest.
Dude, I mean, that's like just not right.
Well, sorry. Leaving goods around in a hotel. You know, when the hotel clerk in the lobby hands you your room keys, if they say the room number out loud, you give the keys back and you demand a new room number.
Okay.
And you ask for it to be written on a paper and given to you, because if the gentleman behind the counter says, "Here you go, sir, room 942, that means that he just alerted someone in the lobby that you're in room 942, and they will be upstairs waiting for you.
So it's like a tag team
sort
of thing.
Yes, yes. They work together. So when you go to put your electronic key in the room, just as you open the door, you will be pushed into that room where you will be raped and robbed and whatever else they can think of.
Oh, man.
So they do work together as teams. That's why hotels write your room number down on a little piece of paper, and they push it across to you so they don't say it out loud. The next thing you should do is, as soon as you walk into your room, you should lock the top lock across the top, okay, the safety lock, because many people have pass keys to the room, and they can just walk in right behind you. Security, the housekeeping staff, maintenance staff, they all have pass keys, and they make copies of pass keys. The next thing you should do is put a little tape over the peephole. A lot of people don't know it, but if you go on Amazon.com and type in Shomertech, S-H-O-M-E-R-T-E-C, you can buy for $30 a reverse peephole viewer, Sandy.
Now, what is that?
It looks like a little monocle, or it looks like a little eye loop that a jeweler would use. It was designed for our special forces and SWAT teams. You put it up against a peephole, the outside door of a door, and you can see inside. It reverses the peephole. So if you're hiding, if you're sleeping in your bedroom of your hotel, I can look through the peephole and see what's going on in there. I can see how many people are in the room.
Wow.
So I put a piece of tape, Band-Aid or Post-it or something right over the peephole as soon as I check into my room. I always make sure to lock the double lock. A lot of people burn in fires in hotels. A good safety tip is to never stay above the 11th floor. If you stay above the 11th floor, most hook and ladder companies and fire departments can't reach above the 12th floor. So if you're on the 16th floor of a resort or the 25th floor in a penthouse and the hotel catches fire, that's where you're going to stay. Another thing I do before I go to bed at night, I take one of the large towels, which seem to be getting smaller and smaller when I go to the hotel. I take a towel and I stuff it under the door of the hotel room.
That's a little strange. Why?
Well, a couple of things. Number one, if the hotel should catch fire, most people die from smoke inhalation.
Okay.
And we all know the hotel doors are cut very high on the bottom. There's mm-hmm. a few reasons for that. Number one, they want to slip the receipt in the last
right.
night.
Right.
Sometimes they want to slip a newspaper in if you have concierge service or some higher, you know, rewards program. But the other thing is that hotels have a tool that slips under the door and goes up the side of the door and unlocks the double lock.
Oh.
That's so if someone passes out or dies in a room or has an accident in a room and security has to get in. So security can also use that 3 o'clock in the morning to come into your room while you're sleeping. So I feel if I have the towel stuffed under the door, it'll make it more difficult for them to get that tool in to unlock that door.
And at least it makes some noise.
That's right, trying to get through the towel. And the other added benefit is I'm a very light sleeper, and stuffing that towel under the door tends to attenuate some of the ambient noise outside as people walk by.
Nice.
So again, sound a little crazy. Another thing that people should do is when you check into a hotel, you should get the physical address of the hotel and write it next to your phone so that if you have to call in an emergency from a cell phone, your cell phone or a pay phone, you can give the exact location. The reason I came up with this one was 4 years ago, I was at the SHOT Show in Orlando
mm-hmm.
before it moved to Vegas permanently. And I got in a cab leaving the Orlando Convention Center. In Orange Convention Center, and I said to the cab driver, Sheridan International Drive, and his response to me was, which one?
Wow.
I was like, well, what do you mean, which one? He's like, well, there's four of them on International Drive. Now, they all have little cutesy names and all, but again, if I was hysterical on the phone telling the police I'm on in a Sheridan at International Drive from my cell phone, they have four or five Sheridans to choose from.
Right.
So it's always good to get the physical location of your hotel and have it written next to your phone or next to your cell phone in the room you're staying in.
And that's something I learned from you also was that when you call 911 from a cell phone, the first thing you should do is repeat your address, name and address 3 times.
Yes, clear and concise 3 times and your full address. 123 Main Street, anywhere, New Jersey, USA. 123 Main Street, anywhere, New Jersey, USA. 3 times, because our 911 call system was not designed for cellular phones. If a cellular phone goes to a different tower or a different center, you could literally be talking to someone 60 miles away, and you're telling them, you know, I have the greenhouse next to the golf course on Fairway Drive. They have no idea what you're talking about. And if the bad guy knocks the phone out of your hand, precious minutes are going to be wasted before they do a reverse lookup with the satellites to try to pinpoint your location. Another thing is, like, my phone is a company phone. And if I called for help and got cut off rapidly, the police are going to come to Gun for Hire headquarters as opposed to my house.
Wow.
Yep, so one more thing to think about.
And that's going to be no matter where you are in the country.
No matter where you are in the country. Forget about overseas or in the Caribbean or anything. I can't even answer for how the phones will work there.
Yeah.
I don't know what call center they will go to when you call an emergency, and who even knows if you're going to get an English-speaking operator.
Right.
So these are some of the things that you should check on when you're researching. Another thing when you're traveling to foreign countries, the U.S. State Department has a very good website, the U.S. Department of Interior.
Okay.
And they have a very good website where you can look up and get, you know, health resources and stuff if you're traveling. Be aware of your surroundings, obviously. You can inadvertently walk into a bad neighborhood and, you know, maybe be all by yourself. For us gun and knife guys, traveling with a gun is something we'll discuss in the future, traveling with a gun with a car or traveling with a gun while flying. But
what about a couple of tips now? How would you travel via TSA, or suppose you're just in a car? I'm going to take a car trip.
If you're in a car trip, you're covered under federal transportation laws. As long as your gun is in a locked or fastened case, preferably hard shell, and your ammo is in a separate locked or fastened case, and both items are as far apart from the occupants of the vehicle as possible, you're fully covered under federal transportation law.
And when I get to my, let's say I go to a hotel in, staying overnight in Virginia.
Okay, well, Virginia is a free state. Okay. And if you stay in a hotel, that is also interpreted as your domicile. So it would be legal for you to load that gun up in that hotel room.
But that doesn't necessarily apply to New Jersey for people who
forget
are coming
about
to New
Jersey. Forget about New Jersey and forget about New York. There's six or seven states that you could just downright forget about. In those states, you'd have to bring the gun locked in that case in your room, and you would have to keep it locked in that case. Taking that gun out in Manhattan or New Jersey would be committing a felony.
Even if someone broke into my hotel room in New Jersey and I did not have a carry permit in New Jersey, I would not be able to really use the firearm.
Correct.
Is that what you say?
Correct.
What are some resources our listeners might use?
There are the transportation laws. There is a book for federal transportation laws. The NRA ILA website also has clues for you on that, as well as handgunlaw.us would be a great resource to visit. And remember now, when you're traveling, if you're flying, do not fly out of a gun-unfriendly state or territory or a federal enclave like D.C. or New Jersey. Or New York, you will go to prison. We have a Port Authority lawsuit that's been going on for 5 years now, where some poor soul whose plane was diverted from Allentown, Pennsylvania to New York, and they got off the plane and they got their bags and they were laid over and they had to reboard. And when they went through security, the Port Authority picked up his legally owned, legally checked gun in the bag, and they locked him up. And the guy spent 18 days in Rikers Island.
Wow.
Yep. Yep, yep. So you have to really be careful with that. When you're flying, you should always call the airport that you're flying to confirm that it is okay to check a firearm. It's not as bad as you think, because hunters have been traveling with firearms for many, many years, going on expeditions and stuff. So believe it or not, the TSA doesn't freak out as most people think they will freak out when you say you're traveling with a gun. Just make sure it's unloaded and make sure it's in a locked or fastened or TSA-approved case.
And when coming into New Jersey, what would you suggest? I mean, if you had a layover, how do you prevent something like that?
Don't come into New Jersey.
Oh, that's a good way.
If you have a layover, stay on the plane. If you're told to disembark from the plane and then you get back on the same plane, you're okay. If they take your bags off the plane and give you like a hotel credit or tell you you're going to board another plane and you're in possession of your bag with the bag that you checked with the gun in it, rent a cab and get out of that state and get to a free state.
Really?
Yes, yes, yes.
So you can't just come back on to the plane
No.
and check it in with TSA?
No, and we've had two state Supreme Court cases in New Jersey that were rejected under that premise.
Really?
Yes, so you have to be very, very careful. Like us as the passengers of a DC-10 have the pull over the pilot to tell him where he can or cannot land, or we can control Mother Nature to decide, you know, how the weather's going to be so our flight doesn't get rerouted or diverted.
How about the situation where New Jersey residents want to fly out of Newark Airport?
That's okay. I do that all the time.
Okay.
I travel around. I go to NRA annual meetings. I go to SHOT Show in Vegas where I can legally carry a gun. I check in, fly in. I can't fly JetBlue. They don't have a hub in New Jersey yet for Vegas, but when I'm flying, I'll fly Continental. I have my gun in a hard shell case with a lock on it. I have my ammo in a hard shell case with a lock on it. Put them both in my checked bag. I go up to the counter. I tell the counter agent, the ticket agent, that I have a firearm in the bag. And sometimes they just take it and they put it on the belt and send it down. But most of the times they'll call a TSA agent who will check it to make sure there's no explosives or anything hidden inside the packaging. And then they'll check the bag and off we go. And then when you land in a free state like Arizona, it's not a problem. And when you're flying out of a free state like Arizona, it's not a problem. Again, just be careful that you check your bag. For all you shooters out there, remember, if you're going to use your range bag as an overnight bag, you better go through it with a fine-tooth comb to make sure there's no live rounds of ammunition or primers in it. You also better be careful if you spend a lot of time in an indoor range or a hell of a lot of time in an outdoor range. Your shoes could have a lot of unspent powder and chemicals on them, where when you go through the bomb detection device, you could test hot and end up getting a full 9-point safety inspection and a cavity search.
Well, the good part about that is you don't have to go for your fifth year colonoscopy.
And you will miss your flight.
Yes, you will. Well, you did it again. You wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Gun for Hire Radio, and we're really glad you did. Remember, you can participate in our show by sending your questions, comments, and suggestions for future show topics to talkback@gunforhireradio.com. And if you like the show, please patronize our advertisers and tell them that you heard about them on Gun for Hire Radio. This is Sandy Berardi. On behalf of my co-host Anthony Calandro and the rest of the crew here at Gun for Hire Radio, thanks for listening. See you next week.